Appreciate that. And again, I just want to say to the church, happy anniversary. 37 years does seem like a long time. And maybe some of you have been here with us for many, many years. Maybe some of you have only joined IBC in recent times. Whatever place you're in, I pray that you know IBC is your family and that you are looking forward to the next 37 years of ministry and reaching out, reaching the world for Christ with us. At this time, we also want to dismiss, if you're a kids club kid, go ahead and there's a separate room for you. I think most of you know where to go by now. If you don't know where to go, please private message on the screen Shay Burgess, and she'll help get you set up with the kids club rooms. 37 years. I'm looking forward to this message this morning. I think that it's a message that I need, and I think it's a message that you need. And I'd like to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer, asking God to guide us and prepare our hearts to receive the message. Father, thank you for the worship time. Thank you, Lord, for the focus that we've had in different areas. And Lord, I just pray that you would guide our hearts, Lord. We need to hear from you today as we realize that you've led us and guided us for 37 years. We recognize that the work isn't over yet. You're not finished yet, and we still have more to do. Encourage us today. Help us to have our strength restored in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I go any farther with the message, I want to turn it over to our brother Logan, because he's also prepared a brief reading today in worship to the Lord, our Creator, worshiping our Creator. Brother Logan, are you with us? Can you unmute?
All right, I'm here. Good morning, church. Happy anniversary. This morning, we speak about a very special bird, and that is the owl. Let us see what we can learn about the owl. The owl is a bird made to function at night. Every part of the bird seems designed for finding and killing prey. An owl has incredible night vision, which allows him to see even when there is no moonlight. With his incredible hearing, the owl is able to hear a mouse underneath 2 feet of snow. It has been said that if an owl can see you, it can hear your heart beating. During a walk in the woods, I once saw an owl watching me. It was a scary thought that this creature could hear my heart beating. Owls need to be quiet in their flight in order to not frighten off their prey. God designed an owl's flight feathers to be fringed, so it is a silent predator. Other birds have crisp edges, and this makes for a noisier flight. If any of these parts, that is the night vision, super hearing, silent flight, talons, and tearing beak were missing, the owl would not be able to catch its prey. The forest would be overrun with rodents, and the owl would starve. If the owl had a robin's beak instead of the tearing beak, or crow's feet instead of talons, or a noisy flight like that of a goose. If just one feature was missing, the owl would not be able to find and kill its prey. Every part was needed for the owl to get its lunch, although these parts likely had other uses before the fall. The owl was designed. And when you see a design, you know there must be a design. Psalm 102 verse 6 says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Logan. I like what he said. And it's a frequent theme. When you see a design, there must be a designer. And that's what this is about. We acknowledge and recognize our designer, God. I acknowledge the past year and a half, 18 months or more, have been rather challenging for many people, and including our church family. It's not been easy, especially here again these last, 6 or so weeks that we've been restricted, that we've been having to be at home, that we've been having to meet at home. We haven't been able to meet together. And I know many of you miss that closeness, that kind of interaction with your church family, especially on a day like our anniversary where we're supposed to be together. We're supposed to, our normal anniversary service would be to come and have a family service. And then afterwards, we'd be having a shared lunch together. And we miss this time with family. Families have faced difficulties at home, uncertain of when they can get back to work again, uncertain with the kids not being able to be in school. And the list of stresses and anxieties can go on and on. How long will this be? How long will this last? And on top of this, we are still a church. We are still a church with the responsibility to function as a church does, to continue to be faithful to the word, to continue to make disciples, to baptize, and to go into all the world and do these things. There are times when the demands of ministry, the demands of ministering to our own homes, the demands of life begin to be too much. And perhaps at times we feel ready to quit something. Over the past 18 months, many of us perhaps have felt such kind of anxiety, such stress, and feeling like giving up. It's too tough. The ministry is just difficult. It's tough. And it's not just physical fatigue that bothers most of us. It's important to get enough adequate sleep, recreation, exercise. These things are important and they can help. And I encourage you to do these things. But rest alone cannot solve emotional exhaustion. That's why today I want to share with you four things, four biblical principles of how to handle emotional exhaustion and how to be restored in your strength. So the message today is simply called Restoring Strength Even During Hard Times. And so we may be going through some hard times, but God has strength for us. Let's take a look at these four principles. The first one is this. Honestly, tell God how you feel. Honestly, tell God how you feel. Go to the Lord. Don't just start by telling God what you should be feeling. You may know what you should be feeling, but start by telling him what you are actually feeling. In other words, go to the Lord, pour out your heart, be honest with him. Share with him your heart, your feelings. I've been in prayer meetings in the past. I have been different places and in some prayer meetings where people will publicly pray, and oftentimes it feels like their prayers are more sermons than actual heartfelt prayers pouring out a person's heart before the Lord. And the whole time I'm thinking, this isn't honestly speaking to God about how you feel. Are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling exhausted? Tell God how you feel. I'd encourage you to do what the Bible encourages you to do, and that is to dump everything on him. He can handle it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, look at this, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Read it out loud where you are with me. Ready? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know this verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I want to point out one thing about the verse, and that is the word casting. This word, the Greek word for casting, there's only two times it's used in the New Testament. This verse here, and one other time. And that other time it's used is when it's describing in the Gospels of the disciples placing or casting or throwing their garments on a colt to carry Jesus when he went into Jerusalem. They cast on their garments on the colt. They cast it upon him. And that's literally what it means to throw on, to cast them upon something. And so this is literally an invitation for you to throw upon Jesus all your cares. He is big enough to handle it. Honestly, tell God how you feel in situations of stress or anxiety. And sometimes it's tough to unburden ourselves upon God, perhaps, because we don't understand who he is. But the truth is, let's take a look at three simple things. The truth is, one, God already knows how you feel. He knows. He knows your heart. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Bible tells us this many times. But second, God also understands our feelings even better than we do. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us when we pray with groanings and utterings, when we don't know what it is that we are to say and how we can express ourselves. So not only does God know already everything you feel, but he understands your feelings even better than you do. And you may say, well, then why do I need to go to the Lord in prayer if he already knows everything? Well, that leads us to the third thing, and that is that God loves to listen to you. And the Bible always constantly tells us to go to the Lord in prayer. Talk to the Lord. You have not because you ask not. There's many passages expressing to us the importance of our prayer with the Lord. And so I'm encouraging today is be honest. And at times, pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell him how it is that you feel, not just what you think you ought to feel, but Lord, this is what I'm feeling today. I want to cast my cares, my anxieties, my burdens upon you because I know you can handle it. I know you already know what I'm feeling inside. You know my feelings better than I do, but you've also asked me to go to you in prayer. And this is what I am doing today. Now, because we believe these truths about God, that is, he knows how you feel, he knows your feelings better than yourself, and he loves to listen to you. Lamentations tells us this in Lamentations 2:19. The prophet Jeremiah is writing this, and he says, would you like to read it out with me, please? Again, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. He urges you, he invites you, pour out your heart to the Lord like water. And we see this pouring of the heart out to the Lord a lot through the book of Psalms. If you read the Psalms, there's a lot of praise and adoration in Psalms, but there's a lot of places where David especially is pouring out his heart and expressing to the Lord how he feels. And sometimes it might surprise you if you read through the Psalms, just how honest and how open King David was when he was talking with the Lord. Let me share with you a few examples. Psalm 55:2. He writes, attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. He's open. He's honest. He's expressing to God what's going on inside of him. And then down in verse 4, he says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. In chapter 60, verse 3, he says, you have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion. I don't know what's going on, God. In chapter 69, verse 5, he says, oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. And David many times poured out his heart and confessed his sins before the Lord. He says, God, you know my sins. You know who I am. You know what I am. There is no hiding from you. There's no hiding my feelings from you. And I need to tell you, I will cast my cares upon you. And they go on and on. And I just want to ask you and challenge you, are you this honest with God? Are you this honest in casting your cares also upon him? And I invite you, the Bible invites you, God invites you to cast your cares upon him, to be open, to be honest with the Lord in your prayer time. If you haven't been doing that already, start here. Stop trying to impress God with your prayers, or worse, stop trying to impress other people with your prayers. Go to him. Spend time with him. Most of all, from the very start, start being completely honest with God when you pray. Let's go on to the second principle, biblical principle here. And that is this. Number two, humbly ask God for strength. Humbly ask him. Not pridefully, of course, but go to him for strength. It's been hard. Maybe you're struggling with things. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. That's okay. Pour out your heart. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Throw them upon him. But then say, Lord, I need strength. I don't have the strength to do this. I don't have the strength in my own abilities. My strength is run out. I need your strength. Sometimes we tend to look for quick solutions or even look to other people for strength when we're trying to tackle the concerns that we have today. All the while, though, God is waiting to give his strength, real strength, to us. Look at this verse in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. It's a short one. Read it with me. Read it quietly to yourself. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. We need God's strength. You need God's strength every day, every moment of your life. Don't forget this. I need his strength all the time. When I'm preparing a message, I need God's strength. When I'm counseling somebody, I need his strength. When I'm simply at home or enjoying and spending time with my family, with my wife or children, I need God's strength. It's not just something that I should rely on my strength alone to do. And same in your life, same in your ministry, same with your work, your families. You need his strength. You need to ask him for strength. And the Bible tells us that we don't have because we just don't ask. More than 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded to ask God in prayer. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So if you're feeling emotionally tired, emotionally exhausted, keep asking God for strength. Every single day, start your day saying, God, I need your strength. I need your strength today. Let's go on to the next biblical principle. Number three, gratefully thank God for all that is good. And this is one I want to spend a little time on. This is one that I think is very important. Gratefully thank God for all that is good. Christians, as you read through the New Testament, we're to have a heart of thankfulness. We're to be a thanksgiving people. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We're told to give thanks in all circumstances, in everything, everything. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to be thankful for all circumstances. That's not the same thing as being thankful in everything. I don't think this is commanding us or meaning that you have to be thankful for evil things that happen or for sickness that may come your way. Thank you, God, for this sickness. I have known some believers that go so far as, you know, when bad things happen, when they get in a car crash, thank you, God, for the car crash. And they think that they have to be thankful for all circumstances. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. And it's not so much, God, thank you for this crash. I really like this broken leg. Thank you. Thank you for the internal problems that I'm having because of it. No, but in it, if God allowed that to happen, we can still be thankful in our hearts and list the things to thank God for. Thank you that you are with me. Thank you that you are going through this with me. Thank you that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my life. And we find the things that we must give thanks for, must be grateful for. You can develop an attitude of gratitude in the middle of all of it. One of the most helpful disciplines that you can employ during emotionally exhausting times is to develop a gratitude list. Spend time just going through in your mind, in your heart, or even write it down, the things that I am grateful for, Lord. And write them down and say, Lord, I am thankful for this. I am thankful for this. I am thankful for this. And this simple exercise will strengthen you. It will strengthen your soul. We're commanded to do this for one thing, because it redirects, I think it realigns our heart with God and where we need to be, and our minds where they need to be. I'm reminded when I think about this very thing of people who have gone through some extremely hard times. One of the people I like to read about occasionally, and I think I've talked to you about them, maybe many of you know a person named Corrie Ten Boom. She and her family were in Germany during World War II when the Nazis were rounding up Jews and taking them off into camps. And, you know, many, many died at the hands of the Nazis at this time. And Corrie and her family were busy trying to help hide and rescue as many as they could. Eventually, they got caught. She and her sister, Betsy, were sent to one of these camps, and it was a terrible, terrible place. And, you know, you're just right of the horrific, you read of the horrific things that she wrote about, and it can put into perspective sometimes the, you know, the trials that you may be going through, but also it's so encouraging to read of her attitude. And I want to share a brief example with you. At one time, she and her sister were moved to different barracks at this prison camp, this concentration camp that they were sent to. Let me read to you. It says, when they were moved to barracks 28, Corrie was horrified by the fact that their reeking straw bed platform swarmed with fleas. How could they live in such a place? It was Betsy who discovered God's answer. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks, Betsy said. I stared at her and then around me at the foul-aired room. They thank God for the fact that they were together. They thank God that they had a Bible. They even thank God for the horrible crowds of prisoners. And the more people would be able to hear God's word. And then Betsy thanked God for the fleas. The fleas. This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for the fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. It turned out that Betsy was not wrong. The fleas were a nuisance, but a blessing after all. The women were able to have Bible studies in the barracks with a great deal of freedom, never bothered by supervisors coming in and harassing them. They finally discovered that it was the fleas that kept those supervisors out. So it goes on to describe more about their giving thanks in all circumstances, but it was the fleas that gave them the freedom that other places maybe wouldn't have, because even the soldiers and the supervisors didn't want to go in there because of the flea problem. Give thanks in all circumstances. Make your list. What are you thankful for? What are you grateful to the Lord for in all circumstances? I'm also reminded of a song. The song goes something like, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Maybe we need to take that song to heart more. We need to take that song to heart. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And God will be developing in you a heart of gratitude, a heart that's refocused, not on the circumstances, but on Him, on your blessings. One more biblical principle, that is constantly keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on Him. During hard times, keep your focus right. Be careful where you allow your focus to go. It's easy to get distracted by less important matters. Less important matters like news, like gossip. Be careful where you go with that. I was introduced to a new term recently. And look it up. It's actually in the dictionary now. And I think it affects many Christians today. There's a term called doom scrolling or doom surfing. Have you heard of it? Doom scrolling, doom surfing. This is what we do when we go onto a news website, social media, discussion board, or whatever, and we just keep scrolling through article after article or discussion after discussion about the terrible things that are happening in the world. And somehow you get into this vicious loop of thinking that if you just find out all the information, if you just find out a little bit more, then you'll have better understanding and better peace, and you'll feel better about yourself. And you keep it up, and you keep it up until you just keep piling on anxiety and depression. My friends, that is not how God wants us to live. And this doom scrolling has been around longer than the past year or so. But this name is kind of stuck. What's happened in many places is people have been at home more than they used to, and anxiety already about things around them. And so they get on their devices, and who doesn't have a phone in their hand 90% of the time these days? And they just get stuck in this vicious loop of doom scrolling, doom surfing. I think the doom scrolling is used for your phone use, and the doom surfing is used for your computer use. And they get surrounded by this doom and gloom mentality, and they get themselves a skewed picture of the world. And it's not healthy. It's not God's will for your life. So in this regard, if you're one of those that feel you must plow through all the information that you can, and you spend hour upon hour upon it, let me ask you, does it give you a greater sense of peace in your heart? Does it make you more joyful? Is this activity drawing you closer to your family and more at one with your family? Is it drawing you closer and making you more at one with the Lord? If not, if you can say, well, not really, I think it will, but it ends up doing just the opposite, then perhaps you need to put some more controls in place. And there are ways to do this, and that is limit some things. Allow 15 minutes to catch up on some news that you need, and then put it down. And that's hard for many to do these days, but this is a discipline that we need to work on. Get your focus on the right thing. Keep your focus on God. We know, or we should know, the Philippians 4:8 principle. You know, whatsoever things are good and lovely and just and of good report and right, pure, lovely, think on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the Philippians 4:8 principle. Look it up, memorize it, put it in your heart, and discipline the mind to refocus on these things that God would have in your life. Guard your mind, what you put your meditation and focus on. In order to conserve strength, and strength that we will need to make it through exhausting periods in life, and they will come, they always do, but we must focus on what matters the most, and that is God. Jesus did this when he was looking at going to the cross. Now, I want you to put yourself in Jesus' shoes for just a moment. The cross was around the corner. Jesus came to die. His ministry on earth was coming to an end. His time with his disciples was coming to an end. The people were turning against him. His own people, the people that he came from, the people that he came to save, the Messiah that was promised to them. And they were the ones that were going to be shouting, crucify him. And so he knew what was coming around the corner. He knew the pain, the Roman methods of execution. He understood what was coming. And so we read of him in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before the crucifixion, going and pouring out his heart to the Father, saying, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But his will was always, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes for a moment and realizing what he knew was coming ahead of him. The hard times, yes. There were some hard times in his life. But then look at what the Bible tells us to do. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, now notice this, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Was Jesus going through some hard times? Absolutely. We know that. Was everything going great? No. Were all circumstances in his favor that sure he could give thanks to God for it? No. It was a dark, hard time. We see in the garden, he was, as he was praying, sweating, as it were, drops of blood. It was a hard, stressful time for our Lord. But it says here, what did he do during this hard time? Was he doom surfing, going through article after article and about how terrible the Pharisees were and how the people were turning against him, and you know, about Roman methods of execution? No. He kept his focus on God in it and through it all. And it says, for the joy that was set before him, he knew the joy that was coming, the joy of his oneness with the Father, the joy also of his oneness with believers that was coming, that was going to be possible through his sacrifice on the cross for us. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. He endured the cross. He kept his eyes not on all the problems, not on everything else around him. He kept his eyes on Jesus, or on the goal. He kept his eyes on what was to come. And we're told, keep our eyes on him. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And so I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, what are you keeping your eyes on mostly? What are you keeping your eyes on mostly? What are you thinking about most often during these tough times? Do you keep your eyes on what all the world's experts or whatever are saying? Or are you keeping your eyes on what God says? Keep your eyes on the Lord. That's our focus. Whatever you think about the most is what your focus is. Jesus endured the cross and the hardship of it by focusing on the future glory beyond the cross. In the same way, we can't survive everything that goes on around us without keeping our eyes on an eternal perspective. One more passage of scripture I want to share with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, we read this not too long ago. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These verses, three verses, are a powerful reminder of how we should face difficulty or trouble or anxiety or any of this in our world. They remind us of a few things. What do they remind us of? First, we need to keep refreshing ourselves with the Lord, being renewed inwardly day by day. How do we do this? Spending time with the Lord. Spending time being renewed in the Word of God. Let that be our focus. Spending time in prayer, honest prayer, pouring out your heart like water before the Lord, telling him how it is that you feel. Spending time with him, counting your blessings, developing that heart of gratitude and thanksgiving to him. Being refreshed by being with him. But secondly, we also see, we remember that our problems are temporary. It's temporary. Don't keep your focus on the temporary. We're reminded in Proverbs that there's a season for everything. These things come and go. But the things of this world are all temporary. Keep our eyes and goals on what is eternal. That is our relationship with the Lord first, but also our relationship with other people. Growing in them, sharing our hope in Christ that we have with people around us so that they can also have that eternal perspective and that eternal hope and a reason to be joyful. And thirdly, it shows us that we must recognize that God is also using our pain to build our character. He says, for our light affliction, that is relative too. And you got to realize when Paul talked about light affliction, he had some heavy things that were happening to him. Imprisonments, beatings, whippings, jailing, shipwrecks. being thrown out of towns that he was going to. And so he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God's doing something in us through it. So even in affliction, we can be thankful, again, not for the affliction, but in it, because God is even using that to do a work in us, to build our character, to make us more and more like him. Be thankful. God is using even pain to build character. In fact, the truth is that that is the best way to build our character. Our character isn't built so much through the good times, through easy times. We enjoy good and easy times, but our character is really worked on and tested the most during affliction, during times of stress, during times when we realize my strength is gone. I can't continue. Lord, I need you. I need your strength. So brother and sister, maybe you this morning feel like giving up. Know that you're not alone. And I encourage you, tell God how you feel. Tell him how you feel. Be honest. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I encourage you, ask him for strength, his strength, as you recognize that your strength isn't going to cut it. Your strength isn't enough. Lord, I need your strength in my life. I can't continue on. Learn to be grateful. Give thanks in all circumstances. Develop a list of things that you are grateful for. And then keep your focus right. Not on things around you. That's not our focus. It cannot be. Keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the author and finisher of our faith, on Jesus Christ. Run the race that is set before you, looking to him. Things around us, yeah, they come and we can't help but notice, but our focus and our eyes are on the finish, are on Jesus Christ. Keep it right. God has not forgotten you. God is with you. God loves you. Don't forget that. 37 years we've been going, and I said it earlier, and I still believe it. God is not finished with IBC. He has a work for us to do. And Lord willing, he'll continue to use us, and we'll be a faithful light and a witness and a testimony in our community, faithfully preaching the gospel that Jesus Christ saves. And we'll be supporting missions globally, supporting other people with the same message, going into other parts of the world and saying the same thing. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. God's not finished with us yet, but we need to be a church that is strengthened and encouraged in Jesus Christ, even in hard times. Will we do that? Will you take these things to heart this morning? I pray so, and I trust so. I'd like to pray for you right now. Would you bow your head with me right now? And I want you to think of the burdens that you've been carrying, the stress, the anxieties that maybe you've had in your heart. And I want you right now to cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon him, as the Bible says, because he cares for you. Lord in heaven, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for IBC, our church family as a whole. And Lord, even though some of us, many of us, have been going through trials and hard times or times of uncertainty or anxiety, Father, I pray we'll take these principles to heart. Lord, help us to be honest with you and come to you and express to you how we may feel at times. And Lord, I pray that we'll turn to you for strength in hard times, recognizing that our strength is not sufficient. Don't expect us to go through life in our own abilities and our own strength, but yours. Help us to be a people that is grateful, to count our blessings, and to give thanks in all circumstances, not just the good circumstances, but to truly give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, help us to keep our focus on Jesus, not on things around us, not on doom and gloom, but on you. Our example being Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he even endured the cross and its pain, its shame. Help us to keep our focus on him. And I pray, Father, for our church, that you would use us in the coming years to be a faithful light, faithful witness, a faithful testimony, and that, Lord, we would see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ, that their lives would be changed, transformed, that they would become new creations as well. Help us to continue to have a heart for missions and to be faithful in other places to share Christ, share the gospel as well. We thank you for 37 years, and we look forward to the future, Lord. In Jesus' name, and we say, amen. At this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor Mike for a few announcements before we're dismissed.
Okay, thank you so much for the message this morning. God bless you all, and through the message, I hope that your hearts were moved and touched as we celebrate 37 years with IBC together. Well, a few announcements that we'd like to share with you this morning. First of all, just remember that for the next week and probably for the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue on with our worship time on Zoom and Facebook Live. That's at 10 o'clock. And then if you haven't joined our Sunday school session, that's at 9 o'clock. For the adult class, you can join the Sunday school session using the same Zoom room number as you use for worship. For the teen class, Josh has that Zoom room set up, so you can contact Josh if you're part of the teen group. And then the kids clubs, check with your teachers for that, and they have a separate breakout section as well. So that'll be for the next few weeks, at least, we think. Continue to pray with us about the worship services and about the situation, that we can hopefully get back together in person soon. Another thing that we'd like to mention to you is the Married Couples Retreat. This is something that the Married Couples Retreat is something that we have been put together a while back. We haven't mentioned it much since we got into the interruption time with the COVID lockdowns and things of that. So if you are interested, I think we have a slide that was up with the Married Couples Retreat. We have contact details on there as well for the married couples. It's at the first weekend of December. And then on that first weekend of December, we have 12 spaces for 12 couples. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and send an email into the office, office@ibc.com, and let us know of your interest so that we can keep those rooms reserved. And then we'll let you know how it's going along. We're planning to push through with the Married Couples Retreat unless there's a reason that we can't, such as another big lockdown. Otherwise, we're planning to push through with that. Also, one other thing that we'd like to mention to you, and that is a ministry opportunity. You'll notice that every Sunday, not only when we're on Zoom, but even when we're in the worship service time, you'll notice the wonderful job that the tech team does putting slides together and all of the visual things that you see. And of course, as this grows and we rely more and more on our tech team every week, we put more and more things to them that we'd like to have done, which also means this, that's an opportunity for others to join in and serve with them. So if that's an area that you would be interested in, and what I'm talking about is not just an area of the tech side of it, but an area of serving, an area of ministry, then we'd like for you to consider joining the Sermon Slides ministry of putting these things together. You need to just have a heart to serve. You don't have to worry about having any special skills because you'll have training available and support from the other tech team. We just need a willing heart that can jump in and then assist wherever they need you to. So if that's something that you're thinking about, I want you to do a screenshot of the slide that you see right there and you see the email, slides@ibc.com. You can just reply to that, or you can contact Ken Khan directly, and he can give you more details about it. All right, so I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share this morning, other than continue to pray for our missionaries, each of our missionaries. And of course, this week we're highlighting Pastor Michael Money in Fiji. Continue to pray for him and his wife and the ministry that's happening there. For our birthdays this week, if you're having a birthday, we have the chat section down at the very bottom. You can just write in birthdays or anniversaries, a few that we already know. Gigi, birthday is today. My birthday coming up on Wednesday. Denise's birthday coming up on Wednesday. Maybe someone else has a birthday or a wedding anniversary, and we can all celebrate these things together. So if that's you, happy birthday to you. God bless you, or happy anniversary to you. God bless you. We celebrate and wish you well. I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share this morning. So Pastor Ken, I'm going to turn things back over to you, and then you can close us out in a time of prayer.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Also, I see happy birthday to Rochelle and Glenn and Shay. So happy birthday to all of you guys. Let's go ahead and be dismissed. I would love to be having lunch with all you guys. So when you're having lunch today, be thinking of me and be thinking of your brothers and sisters as well. And I sure do miss you. And I trust that God will allow us to be together again before too long here. So keep these things in your prayers, and let's just trust the Lord no matter what. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our time together. Lord, the worship, the special that we heard that was such a blessing, Father, for the message, for hearing from you. And I pray that this has been a word of encouragement, a word of challenge. And Lord, I pray that we would all be strengthened by you, even in hard times, that we would find our strength and encouragement, uplifting. Lord, we need that from you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to be doing in our church, in IBC, and we look forward to the future and what you have for us. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Go ahead and feel free to turn off your mics, turn on your cameras, and say a quick hello to each other before you check out. God bless. Love you guys. Amen. You're dismissed.